Welcome to Support After Abortions podcast. My name is Nathan Masserian, and I'll be hosting a dedicated series called Men Healing from Trauma. In our culture, men are not validated who've experienced trauma through miscarriage, pregnancy loss, or even abortion. Through this series, you'll hear firsthand experiences. You'll also hear from clergy, clinicians, and experts in the field of healing to provide practical ways that both men and women can heal from the impact of abortion. Thank you for joining us on this edition of Support After Abortion, Helping Men Heal from the Impact of Abortion. Today, our guest is Greg Hasek, an experienced clinician with over 25 years of working with men and women through the healing process, having been impacted by abortion. One of the things that our society and media would show us is that men are not affected by abortion. And while us who are directly involved in the healing work would not agree with that, why does our culture show us that there's not an impact? What Greg is going to guide us through today is actually men are hurting, but they reveal and show that in a very different way. So Greg, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. From your experience, how do you see men present their issues? And actually, there is a deeper hurt.
Yeah. So a couple of things I want to start off with is that why do we not see men in our culture hurting from abortion? And what evidence is there that shows or proves that men are not hurting from abortion? So a couple of things I want to talk about. One is we have to remember, Nathan, that boys or men, boys specifically, are conditioned at a young age not to show emotions. As they get older, our culture also says that men should be tough and not show weakness. So time a man experiences an abortion, they've been conditioned for a long time to not really show that they've been hurt by these things. So, and also our culture says that men are really not hurt by abortion because it's more of a women's issue and only women hurt from abortion. So men actually buy into that conditioning and that message from our culture. So the time that they actually experience abortion, they're so confused that they actually buy into they shouldn't hurt. The other thing is we need to focus on the evidence differently, whether men hurt from abortion, and not just look for the evidence that shows that men don't seem to come forward for help or they don't seem to show signs that they're hurting. We need to look for the evidence differently. And what I mean by that is men, in terms of experiencing trauma or hurt, present differently than women. And oftentimes how they present is through their symptoms, or what we call presenting symptoms, or they oftentimes act out their pain through their symptoms. And so if we're going to say men don't hurt from abortion in our culture, instead of saying, okay, looking for the evidence of the millions of men that have had abortions that are not coming forward or showing that they hurt, we need to go, wait a minute, we need to look differently for the evidence of their symptoms. And if we can look at their symptoms, say, okay, maybe those symptoms tie back to the abortion experience, then maybe we can say, yes, there are more men hurting from abortion. It just looks differently.
All right. So, Greg, the follow-up question is, what do those presenting symptoms look like in men that to the person who's watching or listening might just say, oh, so-and-so has always been an angry person. So-and-so's always had road rage as an issue. What should people be looking for differently?
Yeah. I can't remember the quote, but it's something like this, that men actually hurt or cry through their anger. And what that means is it's a culturally accepted way of expressing their hurt is through anger versus actually crying. So that's a perfect example, Nathan, of if a man has a wound or say an abortion trauma or abortion wound in their past, and they're presenting as an angry person, that they're buying into that cultural message that that's an acceptable way of expressing your hurt. Because the other part of culture says, don't cry, be tough, be strong. And you really, as a male, don't deserve to hurt if you've had an abortion. It's a woman's issue. And so with all that happening, it comes out in other ways. Now, anger is just one of the presenting symptoms. And so in my practice, I specialize in sex addiction. And what happens is oftentimes a male comes into my office with the presenting problem of sex addiction. And in my work over the years, Nathan, in doing work with men, I put a question on my intake form years ago. Have they had an abortion in their history, an abortion decision in their history? And what I did as a clinician, when they would come in with a presenting problem of sex addiction, I'd start looking at my intake forms. Was there a correlation with men coming into counseling for sex addiction with that answer to that question? Had they had an abortion in their history? And what I found was about 30, 40% of those males that would come into my practice with a sex addiction as a presenting problem had an abortion in their history. Now, would we say then that men who have experienced abortion don't actually have an impact from that? Or can we say, yes, they do, but we just need to look at it differently.
It's presented itself differently.
Exactly.
It's presented itself in the form of a significant addiction.
It's a symptom that comes out as a result of a wound that culture says you can't express as a male. So how does it come out? Well, culture says we have a lot of people that have sexual addictions. So that's maybe their way of presenting it. But oftentimes what happens is the presenting problem of a sexual addiction is a result of that previous trauma that man hasn't dealt with. And as we work through the counseling process and that male becomes sober from their sexual addiction, oftentimes we find an unresolved trauma of an abortion decision in their past. And they're able to begin to look at maybe there's a correlation there of why they're struggling with that presenting problem.
So I want to just stay on this moment. What are some of the correlations that you've seen since you specialize in treating sex addiction and you've seen 30, 40% have an abortion in the past? Help our audience understand the correlation.
Yeah. So when a guy comes to counseling for sex addiction, oftentimes there's multiple traumas in his life going back to childhood. So oftentimes when I look at their presenting problem and I look at their history, there's oftentimes multiple presenting traumas when they were a child, whether it was sex abuse, one-fifth of males by the age of 18, whether it was physical abuse, whether it was some other form of trauma as a child, that oftentimes pre-exists their presenting sex addiction. Then usually what happens afterwards is because they have that sex addiction as a result of their childhood trauma, they get themselves in a situation where they get their partner pregnant because of their at-risk sexual behavior that came out of the sex addiction. Now, what's interesting, what happens afterwards is if there's an abortion after and they make that decision with their partner, the wound from that abortion causes that sex addiction to get worse. So now we had childhood trauma that caused that sex addiction. Now the sex addiction is worse because the unresolved trauma from the abortion is causing that to get worse because they want to now medicate that pain. Now, one of the things that we talked about in another segment was this issue of attachment. I think we can maybe kind of pull that apart a little bit today.
So we talked about in a previous episode that when an abortion takes place, the father-to-be has never had an opportunity to physically bond with that child. And Greg has shared with us that men bond and make emotional attachments through activity. And when that abortion takes place, that opportunity is lost to have that physical connection, which is another reason why, as I've learned from you, women experience abortion differently than men in terms of the trauma experience. Yeah. So how does that lack of attachment impact the sex addiction that you're speaking to?
Yeah. So many of the men that come into my counseling office have attachment wounds. And what I mean by that is because of their early childhood trauma, they oftentimes didn't attach to their parents in a healthy way. So they have an attachment trauma, or actually an attachment style that's insecure, or it's a wound, it's a problem of attaching. As a result of that attachment problem, they develop an addiction and they attach to something fake that won't hurt them. And that sexual addiction becomes a false attachment. When the abortion happens, okay, it's another attachment wound. What I mean by that is they cannot attach to the child. So how we're wired as men and women, but how we're wired as men is we have this attachment with our children to provide and protect their and help them grow up and raise them. We also have an attachment with our partner who's going through the pregnancy. We develop a close attachment to that pregnancy experience. When the abortion decision happens, there's an attachment break. With that attachment break, what happens is guys now are unable to attach oftentimes to their partner and oftentimes to their other children, because now that child they lost, they couldn't attach to. The lasting effects of that cause attachment problems. Now, what we know from research is around 80% of those relationships or even marriages end after the abortion happens. The problem with attachment is one of the reasons why those relationships end, is sometimes those guys can no longer attach to their partner. They can no longer attach even to themselves and their own emotions. And they can't attach sometimes to their children. And because they can't attach, now we also have a problem with more addiction. And oftentimes we see affairs because, again, if you can't attach to your spouse, maybe you're going to find a false attachment through maybe an affair. So how we look for men in terms of their hurting from abortion has to look different. We can't buy into a culture that says men don't hurt from abortion.
I see no men crying, so therefore they don't hurt.
Exactly. They're not coming to the crisis pregnancy centers. They're not showing up on television. They're not talking about it outwardly. But behind closed doors, men are hurting. In fact, a lot of this recent research that's coming out showing that men hurt more than women, but they don't talk about it. And our culture doesn't give them permission. So what? Guess where it comes out? In symptoms. So we need to work with looking at symptoms as evidence that men hurt, not what culture tells us.
It's really a complete shift in our thinking. Many of the things that we said at Support After Abortion is we want to be part of a new movement, which is what is a new way to look at the situation, not new in the sense that it's creative, but from a different point of view. And this conversation is really focused on seeing men the way that they present their issues, still going back to trauma. Greg, one of the things that we've spoken about, and for those who are listening and watching, are those who are leading programs around the country, whether in a pregnancy center model or a counseling model, could even be in a church setting. So there's an opportunity to explore this conversation and encourage our listeners. What are some ways they could partner with other professionals to help care for men who are expressing their symptoms in a very different way, not in the traditional way we might see from a women's-based program?
Yeah. So let me just say this, until culture changes its view of men in terms of seeing them as wounded by abortion, seeing them as having valid reasons why to hurt, until culture changes that message, very few men are going to go to places for help. They're not going to really show up at the crisis pregnancy centers as much because they see that as a women's place. And we've tried those efforts over the years. Guys just don't get the message that it's okay to hurt from abortion, so they just don't come and get help. But they do get help when they're in a crisis because of their presenting symptoms, which is, we talked about the addiction. For those that work with programs that are trying to like reach men, whether it's a crisis pregnancy center or a support group program or a Bible study format or whatever the curriculum we're trying to develop for men, one way we can start to partner is to connect with your local mental health professionals that are seeing guys come with these presenting symptoms, and maybe just say to those mental health professionals, like someone like me, say, listen, if you find that a guy or a woman has an abortion in their history, we can be a resource to partner with you, to work together and say, okay, maybe the guy comes with a presenting problem with sexual addiction, but maybe if he does have an abortion in his history, how can we partner together? And I really think we're going to be able to reach more men that way through those presenting symptoms versus what we've been trying for years through just traditional routes of trying to get them to come and say the Crisis Pregnancy Center or something like that.
Thank you so much for that. This is one of a series of podcasts and episodes that Greg and I are recording together. So I would encourage you to visit our website, supportafterabortion.com, and you can view more of these episodes. If there is information that you'd like to learn more about and explore fresh and creative ways to reach men, helping them through the healing process, please again visit our website, supportafterabortion.com. You can contact us confidentially, and we'd love to follow up with you after you reach out to us. Thank you for being part of this episode. Thank you for participating in today's broadcast. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, we are here to help, and you are not alone. Our trained staff will meet you with compassion and confidentiality simply by visiting us at supportafterabortion.com. There you'll find a confidential phone number and contact us, in which our staff are standing by, ready to help you and be of assistance.